afternoon, everyone. This is the Recreation Committee meeting, first one in 2020. Happy New Year. It is 5 o'clock and we are at the City Hall Conference Room in 1207 Palm Boulevard. And I'd like to call to order and acknowledge that the press and the public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. The first order of business for this meeting will be the election of chair and vice chair, and I will entertain nominations for chair. Do I hear any nominations?
I nominate Councilwoman Susan Smith.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
Okay. Are there any other nominations?
I nominate Councilmember John Moy.
And for point of order, please, for discussion purposes, we've made nominations but not motions. Can we have an open discussion?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Councilmember Popson, I think in committees we can go by first names, right?
Sure.
Kevin. what are your thoughts on serving as chair in your first term, just out of curiosity?
Kind of the newbie, and the processes and all that.
Yeah.
So I would look to gain a little bit of experience before jumping into a chairmanship or chair. So I look to her knowledge and her expertise and her longevity. So that's kind of why I nominated.
Thank you.
Sure.
What are your priorities for recreation? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, other than it seems like everything runs very, very well over there, and that there's a lot of programs, a lot of activities, and at least I'd like to stay the course.
Sounds good. I would like it noted in the record that I am wearing a Clemson t-shirt. Even though I am a University of Georgia graduate and attended when we were rivals, but I am representing for my daughter and all my Clemson friends. I had in mind that I would, be glad to chair this committee again. And the only reason, and partly because I'm hoping we can have a really good conversation and direction on getting this swimming pool issue ready for a referendum this year for 2020. But I feel like it may be more important for me to chair another committee. That is my what I'm thinking about right now.
And I'll give my response since we're all sharing. So I'm doing the same thing as you and taking stock of the committees that I'm on. The other committee that I'm on in personnel includes the mayor and another first-term council person. And there's, similar to this committee, there's several things on the horizon that we can anticipate for that committee. And I anticipate some, having not spoken to either of the members of that committee, which I guess would be inappropriate because that would be a quorum. So fortunately, I've not spoken to others. Remember, I anticipate there being support for my chairmanship of that committee. And I feel like that would be and I feel the same as you. I don't think chairing two committees right now would be difficult for me to do well. I would say the other thought is it's fairly easy for us to modify the chair of the committee throughout the year. It doesn't require anyone else from council. It's the three of us. And so I would say, recognizing that we're putting a lot of emphasis towards the pool, and I know that that's really important to you. It's important to me. It's no less important to me, and certainly no less important to Kevin either. Don't mean to apply that. But as sort of the spearhead, I think at least for the time being, it probably makes sense for you to continue being the chair.
Okay. I'll buy that. We can see how things fall the rest of the week. And get back to it in February if we need to.
I'm certainly willing to adjust, and I think we're getting off to a good start here, and I'm excited to dive into the meat that we've got here. But looking at our agenda, knowing the conversations that we've been having over the last year with regard to the pool in particular, I think that's going to be a really big ball to move, and particularly getting lined up for these months to be ready for the referendum timing in November, early August is pretty critical.
Okay, sounds good. So you're still in charge though, right?
I am for maybe 30 more seconds. I will call for the vote if there's no more discussion on the nominations. And all those in favor for Susan Smith as chair of the Recreation Committee, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay.
Unanimous.
And, we're off to a great start.
I'll still call for a vote for the other nomination that was on the floor.
It wasn't seconded. That's correct.
Thank you. Okay, and with that, I will let you carry on with the meeting.
Thank
and
you.
The nominations for vice chair.
Okay. But we already did. Did we do minutes?
We didn't do minutes.
Okay. So moving on to the next item, approved.
I'm sorry, chair. Vice chair.
I'm sorry. Blah. Okay. And nominations for vice chair. Do I hear any nominations?
I'll nominate Kevin.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll second that. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we will move on to approval of the previous meeting's minutes. Do I hear a motion?
Oh, so moved. Motion to approve previous meeting's minutes.
Seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We clearly have no citizens' comments because we have no citizens here. We'll move on to departmental report with our guest presenter, Assistant Director Carrie Farrell.
Thank you. I did bring, since they're new out, I brought some activity guides for you guys if you'd like to keep those. So our monthly report does go through all of our programs, athletics. So just to highlight on a few, our acting performance workshop we held, it is for youth. They did a performance of Macbeth in November. We had 11 actors. We had about 40 so parents, friends, family members in the audience. So that's a pretty big crowd for 11 kids.
Nice.
Yeah, so they will be doing Romeo and Juliet. The session will start on January 23rd. So far we have 6 people registered, but I anticipate the same number of kids coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I attended one, not this one, but and I was very impressed.
Yeah, she does a really good job.
She did. And the kids did great, too.
We have wide variety of fitness classes. So we have a bar fitness class held on Monday and Wednesday mornings. We have about 9 participants in that class. Boot camp Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings at 7 a.m. We have about 4 consistent ladies in there. A couple people dropping in now that January started and everybody has their fitness goals going on. Cardio and strength is a little low for an evening class, but we started it probably not at the best time in November. But I expect the participation to increase on that. That's Mondays and Wednesdays at 5:30. Cornmore Monday and Thursday, 10:30 in the morning. We have about 6 people in that class. dog obedience. Susan Merritt has been with us for a long time holding dog obedience classes. You can tell that everybody got dogs for Christmas because her classes filled up for January, I think, in December. And her March classes are actually, one of them is full.
Wow.
And the next one is getting ready to fill up. So
we are graduates of those classes as well. So she does a great job.
Yes. So numbers for the Canine Good Citizenship for the class that started January, that one is full with 6 people. And the Acting and Tricks has 5 in it. Fit Body and 50, another fitness class. We have about 10 people participating in that. That class is offered 2 times a day. The morning class has about 7 people participating, and the evening class has about 3. Something else we started last November, again, probably not the best time for this, but we see this to increase as well, but the fitness membership. And that is 10 classes for $75. And the classes include total body challenge, boot camp, bar, fit body and 50 core more, all of our yogas, and the cardio and strength. So that just allows participants mm-hmm. to kind of go back and forth between whatever classes they would like and kind of accommodates their schedule a little bit better. Game room is not taken off so far, but we changed the time Tuesdays from 1 to 3. We do have some seniors coming this week, so they say, to play some dominoes, Scrabble, and just some other card games, so we'll see how that goes. Gather, Knit, and Stitch is a free program. We have about 8 ladies that sit in the lobby and knit and needlepoint and drink coffee and sometimes play guitar and have fun.
And I hate to keep interrupting, but I just ran into somebody, she lives in Mount Pleasant, mm-hmm. but who goes to this regularly.
Yes.
And has for years.
We actually have one from James Allen that comes over from James Allen every morning.
Mm, wow.
Cool. She's just got friends that live on the side of town, and that's where they meet. So, gymnastics class, the Tapio School of Dance are our instructors for that. They had 22 boys and girls in that class that finished in December. We have 16 and the class that just started last week. IOP Kids, which used to be called Tiny Tots or Jump Start from a long time ago. Miss Kathy is still with us teaching that 9 to noon program, half day daycare type program. She is full with 10 kids every day of the week.
Can I ask, is mm-hmm. that, are you? Is she using both of the classrooms?
She just uses one.
So, and what are you guys using the other classroom?
We use the other classroom for the Mahjong, the wood carvers that come in, just other classes, the Spanish class. It's usually anything that wants like a little bit more smaller classroom style
gotcha.
Class. So we've actually started utilizing it a lot. We do the little lotus yoga in there, the little kids yoga.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how you were using it these days.
We filled it quite nicely, and so when the city needs a room for like the visioning workshop, we kind of shuffle other classes into that room too when needed.
Okay.
So it's perfect. It's being utilized. Mahjong, another free social group. We have about 12 ladies that come and meet and play Mahjong in that room. The Mommy and Me little play group for 3 and under toddlers. They meet and play in there. We put out some toys. I'm going to kind of skip around on this one. Mm-hmm. But Senior Exercise is a countywide grant program through River St. Francis, and we've had this program for a long time. We have about 58 seniors registered to participate in that grant program. We have about 40 that attend mm-hmm. on a regular basis. So from that class, our over 50 fitness started. And that is the people that wanted more exercise, fitness, that kind of mm-hmm. weren't getting enough. So mm-hmm. we started that class. So there's about 12 seniors that have improved their fitness and mm-hmm. are taking that class.
That's
and they
great.
Come on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Pickleball is huge. Slow for us to start over here, but we are getting participation. The month report says 3, but we now have 5 in that pickleball lessons that started last week. So they're coming in. Summer camp, we are in the planning, well, we have planned for summer camp. Registration will be March 2nd through March 13th, so that will be coming up. Our Taekwondo program, only thing that's really new, we did a Taekwondo seminar for brown and black belts Friday, January 3rd and 4th. We had 17 participants of just brown and black belts from our class and from other studios around that they did intense workouts over those 2 days. That participated mm. with us.
Can I backtrack to summer
sure.
camp real quick?
Yes.
Just because this is always
I know, I figured it was going to pop up at some point.
I was going to bring it up and he didn't.
So
an hour later is fun.
Well, this probably won't be the first time. But I was like, oh, March. Well, it's January, so we'll meet once more basically
right.
before
yeah,
that
yeah.
happens.
So we're flopping back, which I think is good in terms of the timing to get on the front end instead of the
we
back
are.
End.
We are. So we have totally revamped how we're doing it this year.
Okay.
I have sat through 2 webinars of online registration through CampDoc and Active.net, mm-hmm. and their filters just weren't going to work for us mm-hmm. and our special needs that we have out here. They didn't do the resident filter. And they also don't have a way that would work for us for birthdays. And I know that sounds funny.
Oh.
But for the age cutoff to go into what camp you go to. Mm-hmm. So without that filter, you know, by the, our age cutoff of camp, my kids should necessarily be in like the 5 to 7 group, but they're technically really 8. So I'm just going to pop them into this other camp, which would just be a nightmare for us mm-hmm. on the processing end. So we then looked at to what some other recreation departments in the area were doing, and the lottery mm-hmm. seemed to be the most fair way to go about that. Because 98% of Isle of Palms residents get in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's very few that don't. Now, the 3- and 4-year-old camper, we can only accommodate 15 children because of the classroom size. And because of the ratio mm-hmm. of students to teachers for that age group, we're a little bit limited there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the competitive one that we might hear some things about. But this way, there should be no line. They have March 2nd through March. They have 2 weeks. It doesn't matter what order you get it in. As long as you get your application in, as long as we have you registered, you link your family members, your brothers and sisters, if that's important to you. And I've been working with the ladies at City of Charleston because they do it, and they have informed me that you do a lottery spin. It accommodates all brothers and sisters, so everybody in the family gets in,
mm-hmm.
or everybody gets on the wait list, and
okay,
mm-hmm. we'll see how it how it works.
It will require education for us to transition.
It will, mm-hmm. it will, and we've had some questions. You know, if this is where the funny part is of. I like the line. I like the socialization in the line. And I'm like, well.
They can still wait in line.
Right. Yeah,
if you want.
I wonder if we can replace the bonding experience somehow.
I don't
just
know.
Just
so,
a voluntary party.
We can add the line ride is one of the programs that we offer.
It's a learning curve, and we'll do it this time, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. When you all have it set
mm-hmm.
the process, could you share that with us even ahead of our next meeting if it's set, just so that we can answer questions about it accurately when we get
people start asking us. As detailed as I could kind of put it
already.
Briefly in the activity guide, not that you wanted to do like a frequently asked questions in there,
uh-huh.
but the process is it's in two places.
Okay, great.
So we did the big one here, and then actually on the summer camp page, there's some bulleted, a little bit smaller. So it's there.
Okay, super.
So
we can refer them.
So you can refer them to that, and I also will get an FAQ on the summer camp website.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of been waiting for that, kind of waiting for participants to come in and ask me those questions to see what those questions even are.
It's going to start probably,
but the buzz will start.
So,
yeah,
as people like, I already know we need to like sign up for basketball camps for College of Charleston mm-hmm. camp. And everybody's going to be getting their ducks in a row,
right? Yeah. So, and with that, because of our athletic camps don't have the competition, our day camps do. We've gone ahead and opened those. So anybody who wants to do basketball camp, it's basketball season now. It seemed to just to make
mm-hmm.
sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
While you're thinking about it, playing basketball, go ahead and register for basketball camps, volleyball camps, their acting camp. They're all open right now. It's just the competitive day mm-hmm. camp that we'll do the lottery on.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Maybe just publicize that so people know they
mm-hmm.
can go ahead and if they're eager to go ahead and knock it down.
Right.
They're planning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's super. Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For fixing that.
Well, we'll see. Tennis program. We start little kids tennis at ages 4 and go up. Again, super popular. We have 2 courts, 1 instructor. So, again, we can't accommodate a lot of people. But Corinne is awesome. And we had registration for the February session today. And all classes are full for February.
Super.
Total Body Challenge, another fitness class that is our tried and true, has been there mm-hmm. since I've been there, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. There are about 40 women participating in that. Wood carving, free social group. Again, they meet in that little tadpole room. There's 7 of those gentlemen who come and meet and whittle. Yoga classes, good participation. Our etiquette type classes we've had a little trouble getting started with, but I kind of like the topic, so we keep trying. The social media with confidence and grace, farm to table, which is a huge just topic in, you know, in the area right now. And Capital Kids is a new one that she brought to me, and I said, let's, you know, try it. So we'll see how those go. Mark writing memoirs, writing group for anyone. I was going to say seniors, but it's not anyone. We had 11 writers in the last session that ended in November. We have 2 pre-registered for the one that starts in February, and I expect the numbers to be the same for that as well. All of our adult athletics are actually in registration right now, so they'll start up in early March.
Just a quick question. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just thinking about the etiquette classes. Mm-hmm. From a promotional standpoint, do we partner with any of the schools? I know that there's multiple recreation departments that serve, like the middle school for the social media, but I'm just thinking, I mean, they just seem like valuable content.
They are. And, you know, social media is such a, so you really have to get into the verbiage of what it is. We're not promoting social media. It's just kind of talking about the safety and how long that information stays out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think some parents kind of read the title and are like, I don't want anybody else teaching my child that, when it's not really what that is.
Yeah, it should be like online security.
Right.
Keeping yourself safe online.
They're new, and it really takes, for most programming standpoint, it really takes one class to go for parents to talk about it and get that word of mouth going.
I might also, since I have a teenager, a 14-year-old, he's a boy, but I'm used to their mindset, that I don't know that that title would necessarily engage girls.
Right.
So maybe something a little hipper might, and I do have somebody that I know that might be able to help you with that.
Okay.
Who really understands that age group with girls, and also is kind of involved in this line of.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll connect you guys.
Okay. Perfect.
And maybe it's a marketing thing.
Yeah. The farm to table, I know she has, the instructor has partnered with Boone Hall Farms.
Mm-hmm.
To bring in some foods and gardening and stuff like that. So she has partnered with some people. Youth athletics, we are in basketball season right now. We have 145 children participating in our youth basketball program. Next page will give you the breakdown, the residents, non-residents. Games started last week.
Basketball.
It's going good. Teenagers is our senior citizen social group. We had about 45 participants in January at our covered luncheon, covered dish luncheon. They played bingo. They had a great time. In November, we had a community environmental program with Vertical Roots. They came and talked about modern day farming and the technology they're using. Holiday Street Festival, Saturday, December 7th. I don't know if you all were there, but
it's great.
Good music, tons of kids' activities, businesses. It was a good event.
And we had that commemoration.
And we did the commemoration with the VFW.
That was
really
perfect.
Nicely done, and
they were very appreciative.
Yeah, we were really thrilled to work with the VFW on that.
That's cool. We should keep that in mind for maybe future commemorations that we might want to do something with down the road.
Santa's Cookie Workshop is exactly what it sounds. There's a lot of cookies, sugar, and candy, and we had 70 children hopped up on sugar. It was a free event. They came and decorated cookies.
Crazy.
Most of them ate them there. Some of them took them home.
That's
I'm sure we were hit that night with parents.
Mm-hmm.
Special events. Coordinator Andrea is working on Doggy Day at the Rec currently. That will be February 8th. So we have Dr. Jose as our veterinarian that has worked with us since the beginning of this event. They will do vaccinations, microchipping, IOP, PD will be there with dog licenses, adoption show. We'll have a dog show. It's a fun, free event, except if you're doing the microchipping or vaccinations.
And as a reminder, this year will be the first year where licensing is not required by the city.
Right.
We changed the dock licensing rules on the island to be basically volunteer or optional for folks.
Right.
We'll still offer
So we're still offering an advertising, but we are advertising that they are free or and voluntary this year. Mm-hmm. So,
that's
but
good.
They'll be here. They'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good.
Front Beach Fest is our kickoff to the beach season. That's March 7th. We have live music from the Stark and Woody's, the Tams, smaller scale than Holiday Street Festival, but kids activities, arts and crafters, local restaurants, businesses will be out on Front Beach. So that is the overall of our programs. The next couple pages, interior maintenance, exterior maintenance, our parks and grounds, things that they've got going on with the playground and just grounds and fields, keeping them in great shape. And moving on, just it gives you a visual number of our cardio room visits over the years and monthly breakdown, as well as our gym participation. And then calendars for the month of our gym schedule. So the first one's just the gym and cardio schedule. Super busy right now because of basketball season and practices. We still do use the gym for programming as well. And then our whole monthly calendar of all of our classes. So that is that. If anybody has any questions.
On Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon gym mm-hmm. time, I'm hearing from some users, mainly my son, who says that the shift from adult time to kid time is actually sliding a little bit, or I don't know if there's a way to make sure that the kids are getting their full time.
Okay.
On
Sundays. I'll look into it.
Yeah, thanks.
I think it's, Chair, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see the breakdown of views. Sometimes there is a misconception, and Council Member Popson, for your benefit, the committee a couple years ago made the decision to increase the fees for non-residents. For athletics and some of the programs and also summer camps. So it's always good to see the breakdown of usage, residents versus non-residents, because when we look at the bottom line at the end of the year in terms of revenue, sometimes we don't see that big of a jump.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because we don't have a lot, in reality, we don't have a lot of non-residents sometimes participating in these programs. But that is something that the committee did work on during the last budget year to increase those fees. And make it more accessible.
So is there a breakdown of residents versus
So there is for the for basketball, but it is something that sporadically the committee will ask of the staff to present. And it is
it's on page 11.
It's on
that she's talking, that's the what she's talking about.
Oh yeah, the youth basketball number.
The resident versus non-resident.
At the top right before before the special event.
Sorry.
And I did, there was a healthy conversation on one of the island Facebook groups about how non-residents should be getting charged more. And I think I even maybe hopped in there to say they are getting charged more most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it ranges the percentage that more that they're getting charged. But
mm-hmm.
tried to remind people that we are it was all really because they were angry about what they were getting charged in Mount Pleasant. As non-residents, and that it should be the same, like
mm-hmm.
it should be tat for tat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody needs to acknowledge that we're in a different situation than Mount Pleasant, and that we need participation from off-island to sustain our programs
mm-hmm.
where they do not need us, and they clearly price accordingly.
Right.
And they actually have too much demand to keep up with, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed out, I think Jim Owens was even, somebody else was on there from Mount Pleasant, and I was pointing out that we were helping them with their recreation needs.
Sullivan's Island participates in a lot of our programs, their kids and, you know, just the community, so that they are considered non-residents as well. But yeah, I'm sure that maybe the committee will want to look at those numbers a little bit more in depth as we go along the budgeting process and see if there's any changes that need to be evaluated.
Sounds good. All right.
You got a lot going on.
Yeah.
We like to stay busy.
I don't think you've missed any program.
Yeah, there's a lot to offer there. And any questions for Carrie. Thank you for an excellent report to start our 2020.
It was a lot, but I knew we had new faces, so.
I think that was good for, you know, all of us to spend a little more time on that this month. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let me go back up to my agenda. It's like, okay. Moving on to old business. Item A, discussion of surfing lessons franchise agreement for summer 2020. Where are we?
All right. Well, for the benefit of the new member,
the newbie
the committee, I'll give you a quick background on where we are, what we have done, and where the impetus came from to consider surfing lessons on the beach. Currently, the city prohibits any commercial activity on the beach, except if it's city-sponsored or through a franchise agreement. There are some limitations for photography that the city implemented years ago, but currently no commercial activity is allowed on this Isle of Palms beach. And the city made a very conscious decision back then to make that part of the city code because of concerns of being overtly commercialized.
How does the chair and umbrella?
So that's different because what they're doing is basically delivering a service. They are not conducting, they're not supposed to conduct the commercial exchange on the beach.
Gotcha.
People call or reserve online and then they deliver. Very similar to getting pizza delivered in your community and whatnot. So that's the difference. Every now and then we get the complaints.
It's a weird nuance.
It is odd. We get the complaints when people see the exchange and think that it's happening, and you know we'll communicate with the business owners. We only have two in the on the city right now, and they know. And you know we constantly check in with them to make sure that they fully understand that that no commercial exchange or activity can happen on the beach or the beach access paths.
I have some clarification because I've been asked about Wild Dunes and if they are somehow excluded from this. If you could talk about that.
Oof, I'll try. Okay. There are some old covenants that allowed that commercial activity to happen that predates the city's changes to the ordinance. So that is that nuance when it comes to Wild Dunes.
And that, is that just around the Grand Pavilion
Correct.
Area? Okay. So they're allowed to do whatever there?
They could do commercial activity.
I mean, as far as commercial activities.
Correct.
And does that include that they can have alcohol on the beach as well? Because I've also had questions about that.
I'd have to look into that. I do know that they deliver.
That's
food.
A little bit of a tangent, but yeah.
But there is an exception because of when those covenants and those activities were allowed back then before the city changed the city code. So basically, they were grandfathered in.
Good to know for when I get asked.
All right. The only avenue for the city to allow the type of event to happen on the beach has to be through a franchise agreement, which works very similar as a lease. Last year, we had some residents and some council members, committee members that were interested in the city considering offering surfing lessons on the beach. So we put out an RFP for those services as a franchise agreement back in September. We didn't receive a lot of any feedback. Nobody submitted a proposal. So we put it out again. We thought it was due to the timing because it was the deadline for the proposals was very close to one of the hurricanes that we had last year. So we extended, we reissued the RFP, extended the deadline for proposals, and the city received two. At the last meeting, we presented the proposals to the committee. And as I recall, the committee was going to study those proposals and come back with questions. We had executive session to provide some comments related to contractual arrangements with those proposals. We certainly could go into executive session if it is the will of the group to kind of discuss some of those concerns of the proposals that we received. And that's basically where we left it. We distributed the proposals to the committee in November. The committee didn't meet in December, and we're here in January. The idea and the goal was to have something in place for summer 2020. The city was very specific in the activities that were going to be allowed, the timing, the location, the amount of people that could be involved in the classes, and that's how we developed the whole RFP. So the idea was to have it something very controlled. Only one vendor would be allowed to offer these services. and they would pay the city a minimum franchise fee of $3,000 and 4% of gross revenue. Gross sales, I'm sorry.
So $3,000 for the summer season.
Correct.
And then
go ahead.
And then a percentage of the sales. Mm-hmm.
Chair, may I?
Yes, please.
And I'm just going to add some other context as well. We have, and I think everyone on the committee last year, previous, we were all kind of pushing for this because, as Desiree mentioned, we had a lot of citizens saying, hey, we're driving our kids out to Folly Beach for lessons because they're not allowed here. And so that's at the heart of what we're trying to solve is we have a large contingency of residents who are saying we would like to not have to bus our kids over to Folly Beach for them to get surf lessons and be, you know, make sure that they're learning the proper safe ways for this sport.
Yes.
So that's what we're trying to resolve. And I think that there's quite a lot of parents of children, and Mount Pleasant is included in that, but mostly our focus is on families on the Isle of Palms, which is why some of the limitations on the RFP were in place in terms of scope. The other rationale that we had behind those limitations was that we've been phrasing this and sort of describing it as a pilot because this is, not a stretch, but it's different from what we've done commercially on the beach before. A, we wanted to limit the scope significantly for the sake of our residents, for the sake of our council members, and for the sake of our staff, so that we could very closely monitor how well the program was going and to make sure that everyone was following all the processes and protocols that we put in place, and so that if we felt like, okay, this is working, things are going well, we can expand it from beyond there. And I think the expectation is that if things go well with it, it would be expanded to where either that vendor or potentially other vendors could apply for franchises, but that no matter what, it would be limited in scope even if we grew. But the idea is that summer 2020 would be a pilot year for us to say, okay, are we capable of managing this from both, you know, the recreation standpoint and the public safety standpoint and just the business licensing standpoint?
Yes, thank you for that recap. That was very helpful. Yes.
There was a gentleman, Kai, I can't think of Kai's last name, mm-hmm. that did it a long time ago.
He submitted. He was one of the submissions.
Wonderful. Yeah, he's been around for a long time, so mm-hmm. I remember it was well received. Do we open ourselves up to other franchises by allowing something like this? Just a question.
I think that was one of the concerns that mm-hmm. some of the council members expressed back when this was discussed first last year. That, you know, if the city opens up the door to allow this type of franchise agreement in the future, not necessarily would be required to, because city council ultimately decides what franchise agreement to grant, but that the requests will trickle in, you know, maybe stand-up paddleboard lessons or kayaking lessons, or I don't know if there's kayaking lessons, but that it could potentially trickle down additional requests, and then the city would be in a position to have to answer to that. Why yes to surfing lessons and maybe not to another
beach
activity.
Beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball, similar.
Right. Although we do have beach volleyball.
But, yeah.
But there's no...
There's so many nuances.
There's no specific, like, okay, if we allow this, we have to allow anything else whatsoever.
Right.
Just
yeah.
like with photography, which we've had in place
yeah.
for, I think, successfully for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's specific enough to mm-hmm. that specific... Or
yeah.
Specific enough
we
to that activity.
We can make it specific and not feel like we have to... We are obligated or...
Yeah.
Legally have to go with the other kinds of franchises.
I would say it's an unfounded fear,
yes.
personally,
okay.
is my position, mm-hmm. based on what I've heard from
mm-hmm.
our legal counsel and from Desiree.
And I agree. I mean, the council could feel pressure, but in the end does not have to do it, to expand it.
One other question. Where would it be? Where would they hold it, or where would they handle
good
it?
Good question.
So the RFP requested them to state a preferred location. From the staff's perspective, it would be appropriate for that to be allowed in the commercial district, because the residents will complain if they see that commercial activity in front of their house. We limited it in a way that it would be minimal. The groups of participants would be, if I recall correctly, they can't be more than six at a given time. So that should be pretty minimal. You know, you're not managing a group of 20 people at the same time. But the front beach area has parking, has restrooms. The only concern with the front beach area is the proximity to the pier and the proximity to other bathers. So there, the city code is very specific on where surfing can occur, and there, you can't surf within 100 feet of somebody or within 100 feet of the pier. So there are some restrictions and some issues around those limitations that are currently included in the code. But, you know, parking would be more easily available. And again, it depends on the hour of the day where they would be allowed and to serve and when it would be accessible for folks. So the idea was to, once somebody was chosen or in the process of choosing a franchise agreement, that those details were going to be worked out between the proposer and the staff.
So what are our next steps with this?
Well, could I hear a motion to go into executive session for legal advice?
I would recommend that you consider a motion to modify the agenda because executive session is not included on the agenda.
Okay.
So you need a two-thirds vote to add that to the agenda.
Okay.
I'd like to move that we amend the agenda to include executive session for discussion of contractual matters related to a surfing lesson franchise agreement.
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
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 And for the record, it's section 30-4-70A-B. I'm sorry, A-2.
We're doing this for the second?
Yes.
So I need to go.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session per code 30-4-7A.
Okay.
70?
A-2.
Right.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion.
That camera makes me nervous.
Like yeah.
Which one?
Red means armed.
Oh, there it is.
Is that okay. Right, Ron? Red means armed?
Yeah, you're on. Currently.
Okay.
You can open the doors too, Ron, if you can. Thank you.
It's just, it's like opposite from you. Red,
you,
I think of as is off.
Yeah, me too.
And blue feels like it's on.
Yeah.
So we're on now.
Correct?
It's recording too.
Okay.
So we're returning from executive session. No decisions were made during executive sessions. Do I hear a motion out of executive session on this topic? I will make a motion then that we reject the proposals that have been submitted from our last RFP and open it back up with some modifications and of a 1-to-4 ratio of instructors to surfing students and pursue that and see what proposals we receive. Did I cover all the bases there?
You did.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I think I would... I would still like for the city administrator to have some conversations with the proposal before I reject them. I would like for the city administrator to have some conversations with the submitters and give follow-up recommendations in our February meeting. That would be my preference. I'm afraid of the timing of issuing an RFP, getting submissions and evaluating. We're unlikely to get something for summer 2020 with our timeline now. So.
Would you like to make a amendment?
No, I don't. I don't think that, I don't have a motion.
Okay. All right. Would you like to add anything?
Well, I don't know that we have any other choice but to do another RFP. If we don't like these two guys, I mean...
Proposals.
Two proposals. It's proposal-based. Proposal-based, then we don't really have much of a choice, the way I see it, unless I'm missing something.
Okay. All right, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
All right, thank you. Moving on to new business. Wait, where are we? Swimming pool. Oh, gosh. We got to get done in terms of the game. All right, item B, discussion about adding a community swimming pool at the Recreation Center and timeline for an advisory referendum in November 2020. I'll let our administrator get us kicked off.
All right. I would like to start with, before we get into the timeline, I want to share with you all some of the discussions we had with David Burt. He is the principal and vice president of LS3B. He was part of the team that designed the recreation building, developed the drawings. So he has been involved with the city for a long time, and he's always been so gracious to talk to us and let us pick his brain a little bit. So in preparation of this meeting, we had a conference call with him earlier this month, and we wanted to get some input from him about, you know, feasibility, space, what a pool would look like, and obviously, you know, very, very interested in estimates of construction costs.
Yes.
And I think that I'm very excited to have Councilmember Popson here. You know, he has a lot of experience with development, so I think he'd be instrumental in this discussion. So I'll speak for myself, but I'm excited to see.
I chime in wholeheartedly.
And these are some of the points that he shared with us, is that recently recreation facilities have been building 25-yard pools, more than 25-meter pools, so that it would be allowed to be used for swim meets and competitions and whatnot.
Yeah, we definitely want that.
A typical competitive pool has 6 lanes.
Are we here on this one? Are we on this?
No. So I didn't. These are
Okay.
That I want to share with you all.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He talked about, you know, a typical competitive racing pool would have 6 lanes, 50 by 75, which amounts to roughly 3,750 square feet. A typical concrete apron for a pool is roughly 7,500 square feet, for a total footprint of 11,250. For that size pool,
30 of an acre.
Correct. That does not include any additional office space or lockers, restrooms, showers, and all that. That's just.
You'd also need a facility for the
chemicals. Oh, storage room for chemicals and other equipment. So that would be it doesn't include all that we know we would need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if we're looking at, you know, just base numbers to come at some baseline for cost, then we would be using that 11,250 square feet.
Did he also? Oh, sorry.
So they recently built a pool like that for $415,000. But that is an outdoor open pool.
Mm-hmm.
If we
Much
want to consider,
to operate.
So we would be. So that's just for the 6 lanes. We also talked to him about having a separate area.
The 415 is purely for the pool itself, without the.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Correct. But yes. Just that 11, and this is just basing it off of a square foot cost.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about with David about us wanting to offer programs for children. So usually these pools are what, eight feet deep, and we would need another pad that was not as deep for children programs and children activities. So there is a pool downtown Charleston, the Martin Luther King Pool, and it's roughly like an L shape. So the 11,000 doesn't include that additional L shape that would accommodate not as deep pool.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be in addition to that, and we could use a $90 per square feet number to calculate the additional cost of whatever we want to add to the pool. To heat the pool would roughly be around $70,000-$80,000 more on top of that. It doesn't take into consideration any flood proofing, which we would need, and like I said, any additional amenities that the city would be required to offer for code. And that's an outdoor pool. If we're looking at an indoor pool, we're looking at roughly $400 per square feet for an indoor pool. It sounds like a lot, but it does require dehumidification and protection from the chlorine. So there's just code requirements on top of that because it's
air
pool
quality
and
stuff,
air quality and humidity concerns as well, which would make an 11,250 square foot building cost roughly around $4.5 million. And again, not including additional space and parking and showers and lockers and storage and all that. So those are just baselines that I thought would be helpful. For us to sort of lead the discussion with. And I also shared with you all a copy of the original master plan.
Did he share his thought, thinking on how much parking would be needed?
No.
Okay.
We talked about a follow-up meeting with Douglas to talk about what those requirements would look like, and also with a general contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Requirements that we would actually, I mean, we have parking.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fair amount of parking for the center.
But it wouldn't be enough for the amount of activity that
okay.
would be expected with the addition of that facility.
Okay.
Especially if you're going to let swim team operate this, it gets crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean,
and even if those code requirements are not very aggressive, I think that the city should be just, I guess, in planning for a facility like this, should be realistic in the amount of activity that would be.
Well, and so currently we have paved spots, but we clearly also have informal.
Mm-hmm.
Parking that happens on grounds.
Mm-hmm.
How does that translate into what's that? That doesn't satisfy
I'll let
official requirements.
That would be golf cart parking.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't.
Well, and I'm more thinking like how people park along
along
the road, along Hartnett and.
I would think there would be some other issues with where this facility would be and. ADA compliance of how those people would get, or you know, how we would get into the pool and those, and yeah, I think you would need real paved parking.
In addition to what we have.
Because it's so much parking per square foot and how many people,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know those numbers.
Okay, well, that's good to know going in that we'll need more parking. And through a formula, can determine roughly about how much
depending
more we need.
The size of the building.
Okay.
Well, we can get those numbers. Rough numbers for you all.
And did I'm sorry.
No,
go ahead. Do we look into costs for enclosure, like the bubble or the that can be moved in and out?
We have not. We're in the process of getting that. We've reached out to the pool manager for the MLK pool downtown Charleston to get some conversations going about their experience with the bubble.
So they use the bubble. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They do use the bubble. There are concerns. You can Google, research the concerns about the bubble, how easy it is to maintain, how easy it is to put back and forth,
mm-hmm.
how easily it deteriorates. So I want to talk to somebody who has experience with one that could, I think would provide a very valuable feedback on it and also ongoing cost for maintenance.
And I'm wondering if that maybe has evolved over time, so that maybe their experience may be different from somebody who's getting a newer, if they've been using the same setup for a while, maybe there's potentially some better setups.
That is correct. There are new technologies out there. There are new materials. There are new designs. I know that there's a concern about aesthetics when it comes to a bubble. People don't like them. They don't like how they look. But I guess when the committee is looking at pros and cons and the cost of each option, then I think it's something that the committee should consider, and we want to provide you with all of the information that we can find on the setups for consideration.
Super.
So just quickly.
Can I, sorry, because I spoke with a an aquatic designer who's done a handful of community projects like this and got some rough numbers and some just off-the-cuff recommendations without this degree of specificity. And I'll just ramble off some of the points that he made. One, he's like, if you're hoping to fund the operations beyond without taxes, so all the recommendations were basically under that. Like, we want the operations to be as funded from the operations of the facility itself. Mm-hmm. He said, would never make it indoors, would never use a bubble, would make it an outdoor pool, would make it heated, and would make sure that there were some features for children. So not just shallow pools, but adding things like splash pads and stuff, once you have the filtration systems, are relatively low cost that drive traffic.
Oh, that's good.
But the other assumption that he was making in talking to me was that we would need to assume a pull from non-island folks. Mm-hmm. So this is just one person's sort of like unresearched but very experienced opinion, who's done projects for communities where they said, we want to put in a pool, we want it to pay for itself. Great, we put in these things, we charge an admission, but we don't have the population on island to support it.
Mm-hmm.
He said probably you're looking at 1.5 million for a 25-yard or 25-meter pool.
Mm-hmm. So with some extras like you're talking about, splash pads.
Yeah, so that tracks roughly with what Desiree was saying to me. Yeah.
Does that include, like you've mentioned, the snack bar concept helps pay for things? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, more so it's going to be admission utilization. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I think, you know, if it's an outdoor pool and you're trying to pay it off by memberships and participation in programs and athletic events and whatnot, it narrows down how often, you know, the amount of time during the year that you can use it, even if it's heated.
I asked him about that, and you can get a heater that's strong enough. So,
I think
it depends on how much, what the quality of the heater that you get, but mm-hmm. pretty much, he said, you know, you could, if you wanted to, you could probably do it pretty much year round.
Yeah, you want to speak to that?
Well, with the heater, remember the ocean and our pools get down to 58 degrees during the wintertime. So trying to heat that up to where people can swim in 72 or 74 is going to be a lot of power or a lot of gas, whichever way you use it. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a lot of expense. One of the things, and I've done a bunch of pools, it's not only the building of the pool, and you have to have restrooms. The X is going to make you have restrooms and showers to go along with the pool. You're going to have a pump house or a chemical house. You're going to have something to protect the heater if you can do that. The heater has to be out of the flood zone, mm-hmm. so you have to work on that. But aside from all of that, I had a palm tree at Hamlin that the coconuts filled up and dumped on the kids. Mm-hmm. You could have all that, but that's extra cost. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
But the maintenance every year is a big thing mm-hmm. that we've got to look at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've got chemicals. You've got, are we going to have somebody maintain, are we going to have lifeguards? Mm-hmm. Do we have lifeguards? If we don't have lifeguards, do we have attendance checking who's a resident, who's not a resident, or who's a member, who's not a member?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some kind of a mission set up to make sure that the right people.
You have a swipe at the
or
gate.
A swiping.
You have to do a fence around the pool to keep people out. So there's monitoring of who's using the pool and who can use and not use the pool. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of expense that goes along yearly with the pool mm-hmm. itself
mm-hmm.
that whoever, whether it be the rec department or us, have to feed that animal every year, mm-hmm. set aside what it's going to cost to build.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Also insurance requirements. Mm-hmm. We have to have, you know, obviously a very robust insurance policy
mm-hmm.
For that, and that gets expensive, and that's an annual, that would be included in what I call the annual operational expenses.
We had to have a separate insurance policy for the water slides that we had at Dunes West and Hamlin, and I think Hamlin was $40,000 a year just for insurance for the water slide. And I think Dunes West was about $50,000.
Wow. That's an expensive water slide. Okay.
But that's what, if you want people to come.
But it makes sense, right.
You put it there because you want people to go there. And that's, I mean, to all of your points, And you know, this was, hopefully we made it clear, we want to set up a referendum because we feel like this is a decision that's bigger than council, that all of the community needs to weigh in on because of the long-term lasting impact on the community that it's going to have if we were to proceed with it. I think that, I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I think the decision basically is, do we want to encourage a lot of people from off the island to come use the recreation facilities, specifically the pool and whatever side, or do we want to significantly raise taxes, or do we not want to do it? And I think, I know I'm jumping the gun and I'm getting way ahead of what this is and this process that you've thought of, but I ultimately, based on the like initial research we've done, it sort of seems like those are the three options. Don't do it, pay for it with help from off the island, or pay for it with higher taxes.
Right. Well, I'm not sure where user fees, you know, and maybe memberships fit into that equation, if they're priced appropriately. I'm not sure if your expectation was that we allow residents to come in at no cost, or that there would be.
Throwing off some very high level. Uh-huh. And I guess, yes, you could make the membership fees for the island residents so high that it covers
or make them lower for residents and higher.
Well, that's the assumption, of course, that I had, that everyone's paying something.
Yeah.
But I will say, whether it's an outdoor pool or an indoor pool, I think it would be very hard for the city to be able to fund this without any increasing property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the construction and the operating.
Yes.
Right.
I think the operating is probably the bigger concern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be then it's good if we get some good solid numbers to look at and figure out what realistic numbers of what we're looking at, and everybody needs to go in with eyes wide open.
I'll look into that, because we at Dunes West, it was a private club, and so we kept obviously financials on what it costs maintenance wise and plus what we built.
Oh, that would be great
now,
reference.
We're not going to want to build what we built there, because it was, I think we spent $5 million on the clubhouse and everything else. But the other thing with him, we turned over to the Homeowners Association and they maintain it. And I can probably get some information from them.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to get the same information from the MLK pool, which would be similar, a little larger in size, but we can extrapolate from that.
Well, let me take a moment, and I went ahead and typed this out, and I'll give everybody a copy. Just to review, we've discussed some of these things already, but I would like to enter that into the minutes to really set the stage for at least my personal opinions on what our primary reasons are going to be to add a pool and what the benefits would be. Primary, above all, providing a recreational resource and gathering place for our residential community, but not necessarily limiting, and we won't be able to limit it just to our residential community for a variety of reasons. Providing a secure home pool for our swim team, which is the future of which is in question. And the final primary reason to me is to create a strong community of swimmers who can safely enjoy the water by offering lessons and programs. But additional benefits I see is maximizing use of our rec center, not just by offering aquatic programs, but drawing more traffic there in general, making it more of a focal point, engaging a larger percentage of the community, and exposing residents to other potential opportunities there that they're going to see as they come in and out and understand. And that vibrancy at our rec center, which is already there, but I think we could take it to another level, will continue to nurture a vibrant residential community. I see the potential for this to be an amenity for our overnight visitors with rental homes, based just on the fact that I understand that Wild Dunes offers annual passes for its rental homes, to use the pools there. And that's something that I'd like us to explore more, so that this could be a bonus to help cover our expenses directly and also bring in extra accommodations revenue, maybe more indirectly, but is something that can be a selling point to a smaller home on the island that's a rent, already a rental and doesn't have a pool, but for $1,000 or $2,000 a year could offer this. Or I'm not sure what the pricing would be on that, especially for that heart of the island from 21st to 41st, which is often within walking distance of the pool. We may be able to use this as a, you know, maybe pull in, this is an avenue to explore whether it's feasible that we might be able to host some swim meets for year-round teams that could be a revenue boost. And, you know, potential to help us with drainage in an indirect way if we're curbing people from doing backyard pool construction. But I think a lot of it can be in the pricing and how we create this. We can pull in from off-island and still have it be a community feel, especially if we're drawing in from our immediate neighbors. But I do want to make sure that that's at the core, that we're creating a neighborhood gathering place, but being realistic about how we pay for it and drawing on our neighbors to help us in, with the usage and with paying for it.
Yeah, I think it's important to get some accurate estimates for the ongoing operational expenses and then maybe pull some numbers about what realistically we could be mm-hmm. expecting on a monthly basis based on memberships or day-to-day participation and kind of compare those two so that we have an idea how much can that be supported by mm-hmm. by the activity.
Sounds good.
The timeline that we've worked on, and obviously open for feedback, and this is fairly aggressive if we're looking at a November referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a point of reference, we worked 2 years before the Marina referendum.
Oh. Okay, then.
So they
did not realize that.
Yes. I think longer than that, actually.
Makes sense, though.
So there are two options. The city has the ability to have an advisory referendum, which is non-binding. You're basically asking for feedback at a grander scale. Mm-hmm. You know, we're dealing with this issue. Where are you leaning? You know, you're not giving that many specifics. But then you go to the next phase, which would be a GO bond or a debt limit bond, which is what we did for the Marina. We're basically asking the community for approval to borrow money that doesn't count towards the city's debt limit, which is 8%. Our current debt limit is around 9%. I'm sorry, $9 million that we could borrow without requesting for approval from the community. But if a bond referendum is approved by the community, then it doesn't count towards that debt limit. It doesn't mean much other than the city doesn't have to count it towards the debt limit, but the city still has to fund, identify a revenue source to pay off for that debt service. And this might be a good use for a bond referendum, mm-hmm. because some would argue it's more of a want, not a need,
mm-hmm.
and that the city should reserve their debt limit for projects such as drainage,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
marina docks. Well, the marina docks would be a revenue bond, it wouldn't count. But for other maybe infrastructure improvements that the city would need.
Mm-hmm.
So, the timeline really begins at, you know, the rec committee and staff detailing what the goals and the objectives are. Is it more of a community gathering, a gathering place, or is it more of an Olympic-sized pool to provide additional opportunities for more programs and events, or is it kind of narrowing it down? What is it that we're trying to solve? What's the goal? What is the community,
mm-hmm.
we think the community wants? And then during the last meeting, we talked about the creation of a citizen advisory board to
mm-hmm.
Invite some stakeholders from the community, community that could provide feedback and guidance to the committee throughout this whole process. So we incorporated that as part of the timeline of how we would go about doing that. currently the city code doesn't speak and doesn't give any guidance to the creation of citizen advisory board, so it would have to be approved by the full council, authorizing to staff an advisory board. So we have that there for final approval from council this month. That could be shifted to February if we.
I think we should jump on that and get it going.
What do you think their directive would be? If we form this board, what will we be telling them to do, asking them to do?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's part of the, you know, setting goals and objectives. What would the committee feel like they would be helpful with?
Mm-hmm.
Is it providing feedback on the community survey?
Mm-hmm.
Is it evaluating the results from the community survey? Is it gathering information about what kind of pool the city could have there? Maybe doing some analysis, cost-benefit analysis. It is recommended that whenever a citizen advisory board is developed, that they have a specific task.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe is being a sounding board to the community every step of the way.
I have a question, and there are specific rules about bond referendums mm-hmm. that we need to make sure that we're being cognizant of as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we create a citizen advisory board, does that somehow limit their ability to advocate for a pool?
They would not be public employees.
Okay.
They should not advocate on behalf of the city. So they would do it as private citizens. But there are rules, and I actually printed some, and I'm more than happy to share that with the rest of council.
So I have an initial recommendation for how a citizen advisory board could help us.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the reason we talked about forming one and the value I think they bring is that they can help us have representation of the entire population of the island. And I know that's, as elected officials, that's what we're supposed to do. But again, leading up into a referendum and hoping that it's successful in that we get a true sense of what the islanders want, and that there's clarity of, okay, we're putting forth these options because we think these are the most viable options that the community at large wants. We want as good as reflection of the community as we can get.
Yes.
So I would say dissemination of and collection of survey results, and just maybe they can help create the survey. I'm less concerned with that there might be too many cooks in the kitchen. Like with creating a survey, usually you want just a couple of people to
and
do
we've
it.
We've already done that.
Yeah.
But
so
we have a
yeah.
good document that they can use and just help analyze and report back on.
So from my perspective, and I'm one person, and I'm sure there's a lot of other ways they could participate, but with our time frame and we might come up with other things, but just thinking of what's the thing that we need most, it's people to weigh in on
feedback.
We need to get feedback, and we want it from all over the island, not just pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think that helps us figure out, okay, who should be on this board.
Mm-hmm.
It's people from all over the island in different pockets and different
mm-hmm.
demographics.
I definitely agree with the different pockets, different demographics. I would also, because I think we have a potential for tapping into the rentals as a revenue support, include having some residents who are also rental
mm-hmm.
property owners. I think that there's some stakeholders like swim team that we could involve in the committee, and that they would be, like, I see it also potential for having them as a sounding board in a small, like a,
mm-hmm.
not a big way, but at least I think we can get some good feedback from just the people who are on the committee themselves if we choose wisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a wide representation from different groups,
age
Wildoons,
groups,
Wildoons, the property management companies, somebody who has young kids, somebody who may not have
right.
anymore, but would participate in some programs. Some of them are more seasoned residents.
Yes. and you might have some that you know, like, for example, some that are involved with the fitness, senior fitness initiatives
mm-hmm.
that might be, like, that's one key thing, I think, for that age group is the availability of maybe aquasizing and that kind of
right.
thing.
Right. And so one of the things that when we were talking to David that sat with me is the statement of saying, a one size pool does not fit all.
Yes.
So if you build a swim team pool, you're not going to be able to do aquatic senior exercise programs because of the
really?
Depth of the pool, because it's at 6 feet. Because they need to be able to turn.
Well, what about if we do the
or
L?
Or even if at 5 feet. So that was the whole reason behind the L. Because there is no one size fits all. And that's what you need to remember.
Okay.
And the same thing, he talked about the, you know, the fun aspect of it, the fun stuff, the zero entry.
For ADA
and not have to have the chairlift.
Okay.
And just other things like that. So that's,
okay.
So just picturing 5 lanes, swimming, swim team, swim lessons, won't be accommodating to everything that we're talking about right here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just kind of put that in the,
well, and maybe we could have the primary mission be, as you were saying, to focus on the survey, and mm-hmm. but leave the door open for some sounding board.
Exactly. That's I think, because if you're inviting somebody in to something without giving great clarity of, I'm asking you to do this, and here's what I'm asking you to do, without having that, it's either too easy to say yes, and then you have people who aren't really committed, or it's mm-hmm. too hard to say yes, and you have people that you would like to help who aren't mm-hmm. jumping in.
Do you have thoughts on the scope of how frequently we would want to, what our time ask would be of them, what
not,
you think is reasonable?
Not yet. You know, I think that would be a next step.
Okay.
You know, once it's approved, obviously between now and getting it approved by council, developing that sort of schedule, that work schedule that would be expected of them.
Okay.
When do we need survey results by? That's probably the date to work back from.
We have... staff develops and distributes survey for citizen feedback towards the end of February. So mm-hmm. we'd have it for maybe a month and a half. The whole idea was to present those survey reports early March
mm-hmm.
so that we can start narrowing it down about what the conceptual plan would
mm-hmm.
look like.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the committee would be ready to recommend to City Council the approval and unbudgeted expenditure to engage LS3P for the development of the conceptual drawings and some cost estimates. It's not budgeted in the FY20 budget. We can look at the REC building fund that has some funds available. I'm not sure. We didn't really talk to David Burt about what that would look like in terms of the cost for engaging them to
mm-hmm.
do some conceptual design. We can certainly do that. That would be a next step as well. then we would have roughly 3 months. The duration in days, it only counts for business days, so that's why it doesn't really line
mm-hmm.
up very well.
Mm-hmm.
But we would be... You know, after that's approved by council, we can engage them and they can start working on developing that. This is very aggressive. We have not discussed with him in terms of timeline what would be needed. But
With the architect
to develop some drawings that, you know, I think it's important to have some visual to present to the community.
Okay.
So that they can be, they know what they're voting on and they know
mm-hmm.
what they would be either advocating for or rejecting.
They should be able to do that within 70 days, I would think.
Okay. That's been our experience, but it's the summer. We'd have to confirm with them that is doable, but I believe it would be.
So can I interrupt? When would we have, with the advisory board, when would we have sort of a temperature of what the residents think about having the pool or not?
I think
because we're going to get into spending money with conceptual
mm-hmm.
drawings and so
mm-hmm.
forth and so on. It'd be nice to know
mm-hmm.
sort of some feedback or temperature from our residents.
Mm-hmm. So we would be presenting the survey report. The survey results to the Recreation Committee and the Advisory Board early March. So we would have it open until the end of February, present that to you all, and that should be a good indication about how the community feels about moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes before, that steps goes before you all recommend an unbudgeted expenditure
mm-hmm.
to move forward with LS3P
mm-hmm.
developing drawings. So to me, that advisory board and that survey and pushing that very aggressively out to the community is key
mm-hmm.
to get an
mm-hmm.
informal temperature of or how the
mm-hmm.
community feels. It might be, we might be pushing it and it might not be enough time, but I think that with social media and through the Island Eye and even Well,
this is the purpose of the community advisory board, right?
Correct.
Or the citizen advisory board.
Correct. They would help, but I think that the city,
sure,
the,
they're not,
you know,
not
the city's venue, we have sure. Way that we can really push it. And also, you know, the recreation committee staff can be very, very, I don't want to say aggressive, but very decisive and very convincing to people.
Fill out the survey.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
And I was thinking,
yeah,
walked in.
For a moment, I was thinking, we have all this community input, we'll be getting on the marina, but maybe we could actually make that engagement work to our advantage by sharing with them,
mm-hmm,
that we also have want your input on,
yeah,
the pool at the same time, and not get sidetracked,
mm-hmm,
with it, but just,
mm-hmm,
mention
it. Can
we
put the pool at the marina? I just blew your mind.
Ooh.
I don't
know what to say. Oh, my.
There's no parking.
We can't do parking.
It's a joke.
For the record, it's a joke.
I'll bring that up on Wednesday at Real Property.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, but I think a lot of it is riding on that response.
I
and everything
I think so,
that follows, you know, after it,
mm-hmm,
would, you know,
mm-hmm,
assumes a good positive response from the community and from council, because this,
mm-hmm,
would also be presented to city council for approval and any other step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd get a really good idea where council feels when, you know, the recommendation to create a citizen advisory board is presented.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that we'll have, you know, you'll have good discussion on the whys and the why nots.
Yes.
At that point,
I think we will.
So let's say, and that's why number 7, if survey results indicate significant,
mm-hmm,
community interest, then the community would recommend it to approve that expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have roughly almost 3 months to work on the conceptual designs,
mm-hmm,
and also, and you know, I feel like the advisory group could be involved in that and be a sounding board,
mm-hmm,
on and
for features,
mm-hmm, features,
mm-hmm,
and maybe the design and
that'd be good.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Some of those details, and then in for around June, the committee would be making a recommendation to City Council to approve having the referendum in November of,
mm-hmm,
2020.
Okay.
Council would approve that at the end of July, then we'd have roughly 2 months with the and that's the reason why it's so large. It creates a little bit of a buffer. If we need a little, you know, some additional time for the development of the cost estimates and the design,
mm-hmm,
but then council would approve the referendum question and the city would develop that referendum question. And it's very specific on how it has to, what it has to include, and it's done by ordinance. So that is something that I realized after I printed this, that I did not include the timing of approving the referendum by ordinance,
mm,
the referendum question. But it would fall within this timeline,
okay,
because the question has to be submitted to the county board, Charleston County Board of Elections, by the 15th of August.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then after that, the city would have enough time to develop educational materials, information to the community ahead of the November vote.
So presumably that ordinance, does it need to, is this a two-reading ordinance?
Correct.
Like,
so it would go for first reading in June and then second reading in July.
Okay.
That's what I would
now,
add.
Ryan always says that after first reading an ordinance is technically...
There's some nuances on that. It's,
okay.
That happens with zoning ordinances, and that trigger happens when there's public hearing.
Got it. So that's not... Okay. Just, I was just wondering, like...
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're, it could be good.
Okay. So June for first vote.
First reading.
First reading, thank you. July for second reading, August for the submission.
Correct.
Well, I think this is a fantastic roadmap for,
mm-hmm,
us.
Great.
And thank you. And I feel like the timing of getting this done in 2020, as we've talked about with the high turnout election, so that we make sure,
mm-hmm,
we're getting a good read from the public, is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think this is too ambitious of a timeline.
I do have a question. So the referendums, they don't, do they have to be held in November? I understand
no.
it with turnout.
Oh, no. Yeah,
they do not.
So with all the other stuff we're going, that's going on with the marina and the public safety, are we moving a little quick with this to hurt ourselves?
I'll answer. I think the alternative would be to wait until 2022, because what we saw with the marina is it became the political issue, and we don't want we don't want the pool to be a political issue. We want it to be, in other words, we don't want people running for or against the pool. We want people running for council because they want to be on council and because they want to serve the greater, you know, the greater issue. And so with the pool, we want the pool to be its own kind of issue. And in 2020, there's not city elections per se. There's obviously the national election.
Right.
So that's why we're saying we'll have the great turnout.
Gotcha.
It's also not going to be politicized on the island. It's going to be, we think the pool is a good idea. And so we're voting it, not I'm voting for X, Y, or Z person on the city council.
Yeah.
So that's where I think I would be reluctant to push it to 2021, and I would say push it to 2022, and that feels far out to me. And I know my esteemed colleague councilmember here has been pushing for movement on this since she came into office.
Yeah. I've wanted a pool since we moved in.
Yes.
And that was about 25 years ago.
Pushing for it in an official capacity,
yeah,
at least for 2 years.
Yes, I do. I mean, as long as...
I hear you, by the way.
Yeah.
But we thought through it.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
And we felt like the aggressiveness, I think your point to Desiree is well made, like, is this doable?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair question. Because if it's not, then we have to say, okay, is it worth doing a referendum, an extraordinary referendum outside of election? That's probably the next place I would go versus doing it at the same time as the...
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Off of not doing it at the same time as city council, but just its own thing.
Yeah. That would be my next recommendation.
What do you think?
I think it's doable as long as LS3P is okay with the timeline.
Okay, so that's key.
That's key. And also the citizen feedback, you know, that time that we're going to have that survey out, you know, is that going to reach out to a good number of people that the committee will feel comfortable moving forward with either one way or the other?
I think that the marina issue may actually help us in that regard because people will be engaged. They'll be going to the marina meeting, and I think that we can use that to our advantage to get it out there. And I feel like, I mean, you can't have an online survey out there forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do have to have kind of a window, would be my guess. Like,
mm-hmm.
a month gives plenty of people. It may not, I guess you might not reach some seasonal people, but we do have high engagement in our social media groups that involve part-time residents who are, I think, checking in, even if they're not living here in the moment.
I think the key points will be how many people are actually interested in serving in the Citizen Advisory Board, how hard it'll be to put together.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to consider is what are the costs with engaging a firm like LS3P to design that, and is council going to feel comfortable authorizing that expenditure that's not budgeted? And just for some history, the Carrie and I were talking about it earlier today. I thought it was important. For many, many years, the pool was included in the city's 10-year capital plan under the Recreation Department. And a couple of years ago, during a budget workshop, it was decided by the council at that time, which was not this council, but the one prior. No, I think it's the former council. Decided to eliminate it from the capital plan. They said, this is not going to happen. It's just too expensive. It failed a referendum years ago. The council made a decision to eliminate it from the 10-year capital plan back then. And this past year, it resurfaced again. So it's currently not on the city's 10-year capital
plan. So it definitely needs to be.
That was one question I had. Because the way this reads, it's expedited for obvious reasons. But there's no RFP process for contractual drawings. And I understand LSP or whatever, LS3P already did these.
Mm-hmm.
But per our protocol...
We're not required for professional services. So there is an exception. I know that the council has been very decisive in competitively procuring services. It does not include that. I think that would completely change the timeline, which we could certainly do that. However, I think if LS3P, having been the company that designed the original building, it would be in the city's best interest to engage the same people that...
I just want to make sure we aren't being inconsistent in our use of...
We would. I mean, we kind of would be.
Would another bid help?
I don't know. I think it depends on the total and the cost.
Because Seaman & Whiteside had done my conceptual drawings for the development, the pools, the amenities, all that. So that would be another option for us.
Mm-hmm. And we could as do far it as time frame. We could do it informally as well, not have an actual, you know, RFP document out. We can reach out to some of the firms just to have some comparison.
If that's an option, I think that might be worth pursuing.
You might get a better number and a better timeline.
But right. I'm pretty sure that there's an exception for these services, but I'll double check.
Okay.
Even if it's an exception, but it's an optics thing, I'd rather us be consistent in the way that we're doing RFPs. Mm-hmm. So I know that doesn't make sense. Like, I understand that this is like the tightest thing ever, so
making it harder.
That's what it sounded like. You had it too easy. This is like way too tight. I had to like
throw something,
drop
else
a
in
bomb
there.
In there.
Well, I mean, although we're looking at
and I just wanted to confirm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the timeline and seeing where how much time we would have before to get an RFP done. But okay. So can we do the RFP without full acknowledgement that we're moving ahead? It's a preemptive RFP?
That's what I was thinking, the same thing, Susan.
Yeah.
It seems that the optics are another issue there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that blow up our timeline?
It potentially would.
A little bit.
It does. Before we move forward on that, I don't want to forget. Is the goal from the committee to have a dead limit referendum? Are we talking about asking the community to authorize the city to issue debt? Or is it more of an advisory question? Mm-hmm. Should the city pursue and design engineering of a pool? I mean, there are two different ways, and I struggled with it. I've been thinking about this for the past, you know, month, and I need to get some guidance from you all on that. You know, if we are asking the community to borrow money, mm-hmm. then at that point, we do need some conceptual drawings, we do need some concrete numbers so that we can extrapolate how much is it going to actually cost, how much it's going to cost the city to maintain, mm-hmm. how much property taxes would potentially have to be increased. Are people comfortable with that? If that's the case, then yes, we do need to we need to go through this process. And it sounds to me like it's a little bit too aggressive. We could you know, push through and try to make it work and try to expedite as much as we can. But is it more of some guidance from the community, mm-hmm. which I don't know if the committee is looking at the survey and the citizen advisory board to fill that sort of void and that informational void mm-hmm. to you all, or should the referendum be, would this be something that you would be okay with mm-hmm. if the city increased property taxes for, mm-hmm. you know, should the city pursue this?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then at that point, the city can budget monies to engage an architect and engage mm-hmm. a firm to develop all these drawings, to develop all the options. And so I don't know if at the end, if after that, there's another referendum that needs to happen mm-hmm. to actually mm-hmm. cover the cost of the construction. And that pushes out it a little bit, mm-hmm. but it might be a little bit more sustainable and maybe easier for the community to digest, mm-hmm. rather than them feeling, you know, we have a drainage project in the pipeline, we have the public safety building, we have the marina docks that we don't know how we're going to pay. This is, you know, what we hear from the community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now we have to, you know, approve a $5 million bond for a pool at the rec. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to put that out there.
Yeah, because that's good.
We may be jumping the gun a little bit in asking the community to approve a bond issue, Just thinking back at, you know, the whole process that the city went through for the marina,
mm-hmm.
you know, the more I think about this, it seems too rushed. And the city could still have a referendum in November, but be somewhat
advisory.
More an advisory, be more global and more, hey, you know, we think that this is what the community mm-hmm. wants. Do you really?
Yeah.
Before funds are, you know, expended into design.
Well,
and
I mean, we do have plans for a cardio room that
mm-hmm.
were cost us money that are sitting gathering dust right now.
Correct.
So there's that. Yeah, that may be the better way to go. I mean, for me to kind of fully make that decision about what's better, binding or non-binding, it'd be nice to think a little bit about the costs that are involved, and we don't have completely, it's like chicken before the egg, like, it'd
well,
be
we
nice
have
to,
construction, estimates on construction
so,
costs, and, you know, I think we're looking at $5-6 million if it's an indoor,
for indoor
enclosure. It's a lot less if it's an outdoor pool, which may make it more easily digestible.
Well, I mean, personally, I feel like in the end, while I do want to make sure that we get the input from the community on the indoor versus outdoor question, just because of the vast difference that we're going to see in cost, and the fact that I think when most people talk about wanting a pool, they envision an outdoor pool, even if it's not something that we can use year-round. I don't know if, but we're hoping to get feedback on that too, right? So I think I can see us going more towards an advisory referendum.
It kind of feels like we, I mean, it feels like with this timeline, we really kind of have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're. I mean, I think Desiree makes really good points. We've talked
yeah.
about this before, that mm-hmm. when you put all of these, it's relative preference, really, and it's like, well, do you want this piece of critical infrastructure? Do you want this
mm-hmm.
thing? You want that thing, or do you want this that like will be really great and really make a huge difference to our community? But when it's next to this long list of other things that we absolutely necessarily have to do,
mm-hmm.
it's hard for people to say, "Well, I'm going to take money out of." The positioning of it is not good, and it is an advisory, and we're not saying, "Hey, we're not taking out any money." We're conceptualizing this, and we're thinking about spending money on drawings, not on the actual building itself. It does get into that politicized potential in 2021, because this, presumably we would move
mm-hmm.
from 2020 into the geo bond for 2021. At least then there's been an initial, there has been a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously if we had moved forward, there would have been
mm-hmm.
strong support for moving forward.
Yeah.
The other thing that I just want to make you all, as a reminder, that we discussed in the FY20 budget process about the drainage project, that is also estimated at roughly $4 million. If the city is moving forward with that, then we could have a referendum question that includes, you know, a total number for a number of projects that the city has to do, and then maybe go out for a referendum once, rather than in two different times. So I'm thinking about trying to consolidate the question
mm-hmm.
a little bit for the community.
And having both, are we talking about putting both on for this upcoming election? Or you're talking about potentially having just an election that is referendum based?
Correct.
And
we haven't really thought through, mm-hmm. you know, whether the drainage would not require to have a referendum unless it, you know, the city doesn't want it to count towards the city's debt limit.
Mm-hmm.
I
do think that a timing in with the 2020 election gives us our fullest picture of residents. And if we don't do it around a regular election, we wind up with a skewed slice of residents. So my preference would probably be to go towards an advisory referendum, but to still key it on 2020
mm-hmm.
so that we get our fullest
mm-hmm.
picture in giving people the opportunity to have their voice heard.
For an advisory referendum, like I said earlier, it would be a question, a more global question. You know, should the city continue in this path? You know, should we look into full design and engineering and the really devote a lot of energy and work in this project because we think it might be supported by the community or not.
But we could give rough estimates
absolutely.
At that point of what costs, so people can make an educated decision too. Is what I really want is for people to understand what we're talking about and what the potential is, but also the cost. Okay, well, so with that, I think unless there's anybody else that wants to weigh in, I think we could probably at least have a motion to create an advisory board and go ahead and set that in motion. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, do I hear a motion?
The only thing that we haven't, I'm thinking about Tuesday night, the 28th. If we go to the rest of council and say we want to form a citizen advisory board and we want them to help us disseminate and collect responses to the survey, well, how are you creating the citizen advisory? We're missing just still a few details, and I'm not trying to extend our meeting time tonight. Mm-hmm. Quite the contrary, but I think we're missing those details, and I'm happy making the motion with city staff bringing their recommendations to council, because honestly, we could throw darts unless somebody has done this before and they know a number.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm comfortable.
The number of members
and how we're going to get them. We can vote to form it, but how are we actually going to? Who's going to do it? Yeah, who's going to find them? Where they're going to find them?
How many numbers it's going to be in?
Yeah, I mean, I think we would advertise it on the website. We would advertise the city's forming an advisory citizen advisory forum. I think people.
How many people are going to be on it?
I would not recommend more than 7 or 9.
Let's go with 7.
What's the minimum?
I'd say 7. There's no minimum. You could form an advisory.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say no more than 7, actually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how are they selected?
Application.
They will be selected by the committee, by you all. We could have an application process. We haven't done this before, so this is pretty much new realm for all of us. But they would be appointed by the committee and by council.
As a member of the personnel committee, do you have any recommendations in terms of, because you all have discussed this topic of having more citizens committees.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a
list full of people who've applied for different boards and commissions that, I mean, we have a starting place, but, I mean, the city just advertises those and people apply. So I don't have any, short answer is no, but
do we
I
feel
think the
like
city,
7 is a good number?
I mean, I'm thinking about the goal and honestly, it's almost like, maybe citizen advisory board is the way I'm thinking about their objective. It's morphed from citizen advisory board, which I think we keep that name because I think it's appealing and people want to be in there as advisors. But I think that if the goal is to have representation across the island, it's almost like a pre-referendum, the survey itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why you don't get the more the merrier, and participation in a meeting might be limited, but capping it at 7 when we're saying what we want is people out on the street telling other people to take the survey. If we have 20 people apply, and that's a good representation across the island, unless we have other goals for them to meet with us, 20 people would be ridiculous. But I haven't heard us say that that's what we want them to do.
I mean, I could see them continuing through the process, continuing to meet and give us advisory advice. But I do agree that maybe we should, you make a good point that we should be having a big tent, maybe, in terms of engaging.
I would not limit it then.
We don't really have to put a number on it. Maybe we.
I'm just anticipating questions in our council meeting.
Yeah,
that I would.
Let us work on a structure of what we would recommend.
Okay.
Based on the goals that you all have set for this group, we may or may not get 20 people. You know, if we think too far ahead, then we might be disappointed with how many people actually show up. Because that just happens with everything. You know, we created one for the farmers market and only 2 people.
Okay.
You know, we had 25 people hundreds of people send emails to council, and only a handful of those showed up to the meeting, and only 2 kept going through the whole process. So I wouldn't put, don't set high hopes.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. The number should be based on what our applications we get.
It's an exclusive group. All right.
So, okay. Do I hear a motion for...
So moved.
Creating an advisory, or to recommend creating an advisory committee for the swimming pool referendum question in 2020.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? We haven't done enough. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do we have more on the agenda?
We have one more thing. This could be homework. So we are starting our budgeting process this month, and as you all may remember, the budget process starts by department heads meeting with me, meeting with Debbie, and going through the 10-year capital plan, making some adjustments based on need. So what you're seeing in front of you is the same document that's included in your FY20 approved budget. I just took out the pages that are associated with the recreation department. So this does not include any changes that the department head might discuss with me before they are presented to the community. But I just wanted to give you all an opportunity to brainstorm if there are any special projects. Most of the things that you see here are capital items. Equipment, improvements to an existing facility, and then at the bottom of the second page, you'll see your special projects. And I think that the first step would be to include the pool back in, if that is the will of the community, and the 10-year capital plan. If there is anything that you would like the city to consider, to look into as we start delving into the new budget process and the new budget year, now is the time. I'm not saying that tonight's the only day, but start thinking about those things that you would like the committee to think about, and if there's any information that you would like for the staff to develop that will help you in that decision making, let us know ahead of time. We'll be gladly to put that together. So this is really just an item on the agenda to get you thinking in those terms for the next couple months.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you would like to let us know?
Is there any discussion? Anything that we want to highlight in this moment? Any wishes? Or I think for me, the pool's enough to chew on, and I think I can envision after we get past this conversation and potential referendum that we have maybe a larger consideration of the footprint of the rec center and what other opportunities there might be there for doing other things down the road. But anything?
I'm good.
Okey-dokey.
Just FYI, it reminded me, we have the purchase of the generator in FY21, and that reminded me that the city has a request for proposals out currently for grant writing services, and there are some of these items that are in some of the out years that we have thought about potential grant opportunities to fund some of those projects, but I wanted to let you all know that that's in progress. It's one of the initiatives that we had this year, and we're hopeful that we get proposals late this month.
Cool.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you all sticking with this. We had some longer conversations, but I think they were important to have now. And I think that some of us might want to go watch a game. So,
not
except John. You're going to watch it, though, right? You'll ace.
No, I just want to get home.
You'll just
bedtime.
Cheer for LSU.
Yes.
Okay, so miscellaneous business. Oh, okay, so we are going with the... first Monday of the month, or
I'm gonna throw in a wrench. I actually got a new job, and I start Monday the 3rd, and I have to travel for that whole week, so I'll be out of town.
Okay.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, and so personally, the 5 o'clock on Monday thing is not good for me because it will conflict with beach sweeps, especially when we get into the summer. But are there any other days of the week that are even available for
us?
So
we're trying to keep it first week. So this month, because of the council orientation and the swearing in, we pushed it to this week. But typically it would be the first month of the first Monday of the month at 5 o'clock. Other availability at 5 o'clock is the only thing we have right now is public works on Thursdays in the morning. So we could do five, if the committee wants to do it at 5 o'clock, then the only other available time would be Thursday or Friday of the first week.
We're not doing it on Friday. So,
or if you want to move it to the mornings, if that's better, then we would have Wednesday and Tuesdays available for the morning.
I could potentially do like an 8 o'clock. 5 o'clock I think is better for me, but not Mondays. So if there's an interest in Thursdays at 5, what do you guys think?
That's fine with me.
Thursdays at 5?
Yeah.
I think that works.
Let's try that out.
It'll be the first Thursday of the month at 5.
Yes.
That, and like I said, for the, I mean, you have a quorum without me.
But, yeah, so except for this
week.
Next meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Could we do it the next, is it too late to do it the following week?
I mean, if we, there's some things that we want to keep moving, so mm-hmm. there's a quorum without me. And I, so as much as I want to be here.
Okay.
So, I'm just throwing that out there.
And you're gone the entire week.
I'm gone the entire week.
Yeah. Okay, so that's off. Okay.
Do we want to then keep it on Monday?
I would
like to do it on Thursday.
Yeah, I think it still conflicts with the
sweeps.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry.
For this upcoming one, it's not an issue. It's just down the road. But so I could do Monday this month, but then would like to see it moved to Thursdays if that's okay with everybody else.
I'll actually have more flexibility.
Let's see. Yeah, so we could do that.
So it'll stay on the 3rd.
Yeah, for February, and then we shift to doing the first Thursday of the month.
Okay. Got it.
So the goal is the first week of every month we're getting all the meetings.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. All right. Any other business? Do I hear a motion
to adjourn?
Second. Let's go. Thank you all.
All those in favor.
All those in favor.
Aye.